This morning, we return to our series called War's Invisible Injury. Amid concern about rising suicide rates and other mental health problems among veterans, there's growing interest in a condition called moral injury. In the first part of our series yesterday, we met former Marine Corps Captain Tyler Boudreaux, who described the trouble he's had after giving orders to shoot while in Iraq.
It doesn't occur to me till later to say, what about that? What's your role? What's your responsibility? What's your accountability in that? A life was taken. Somebody was killed. And you said, go ahead and do it. I think that that kind of troubling debate, internal debate, is what we're talking about with moral injury.
The idea that war damages a soldier's spirit or soul is not new. What is new is the attempt within the Veterans Administration to study the experience and to find a way to help those afflicted. But, as WBUR's Martha Biebinger reports in part two of our series this morning, even the term moral injury is controversial.
Jonathan Shea, a retired psychiatrist, is generally credited with coining the term moral injury in the mid-1990s. At the VA clinic in Boston, Shea heard one vet after another describe haunting events. There was the Marine corporal who ordered subordinates to help him gun down 17 disarmed Vietnamese after the corporal's commander said the unit didn't need any prisoners. And Shea remembers the story of a Marine sniper who served in Iraq and couldn't stop replaying the moment he spotted an enemy sniper who had taken out several Marines.
When this scout sniper finally located this enemy sniper in his scope, he realized that he was wearing what we would call a snuggly baby carrier. There was a baby strapped to his front.
The Marine says Shea killed the sniper and the baby to protect his unit.
And it's part of the terrible curse of snipers that they actually see their weapons doing their work. He took the shot and it did its work, and he's going to live with that for the rest of his life.
Hearing similar stories again and again, Shea saw a pattern he now defines as moral injury. A soldier betrays his or her sense of what's right, under orders, in a high-stakes situation. Try to get a glimpse of this experience, suggests Shea. Imagine someone you trust telling you to do something you feel is deeply wrong in a possible life and death situation, and you do it.
You will discover your body reacts, your guts churn, your heart begins to pound, you may get sweaty. It's a horrible thought experiment.
And of course, the experience is not new. Shea says the concept of moral injury comes right out of the Iliad and thousands of years of war. But it's not an established condition with a defined treatment. Shea has been writing and lecturing to change that.
I describe myself as a missionary from the veterans that I've served. They don't want other young kids wrecked the way they were wrecked, so listen up.
Now, some military leaders are listening. Studies of active duty soldiers and Marines are underway to determine for the first time how often moral injury occurs, what it looks like, and how to treat it. At Camp Pendleton in California, Marines who suspect they have post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, come in for therapy and get this question.
What is the most distressing and most haunting experience that you had in multiple deployments? And we get at their sort of principal wound, if you will.
Brett Litz, a psychologist at the VA, says when you sort Marines' responses to establish their main wound, only about a third of Marines actually have PTSD, or anxiety from a traumatic, often life-threatening event. Another third focus on someone they lost, usually a close friend. And the final third describe a moral injury. Litz says of those three groups, Marines with moral injury appear most at risk for hurting themselves.
Self-harm might arise because you feel unforgivable and damned. And you may feel at a very deep level that you deserve to suffer. So how is someone going to behave if they feel like they deserve to suffer? They may abuse drugs or drive dangerously. Some may not even care whether they live or die.
Marines with a moral injury or those mourning a loss may also feel hopeless, says Litz. Others actively sabotage their lives.
So if you feel undeserving and unforgivable, you may take one step forward in your relationships, in your workplace, and then three steps back. you may feel guilty if you feel good.
Litz is in no rush to turn moral injury into a medical condition, but he and colleagues are testing a treatment.
We want to promote, to a degree, a confession-like experience. We do this in a highly evocative, highly emotionally charged way. We want it to be very real and very powerful.
In this charged moment, a Marine begins a conversation with their most compassionate, forgiving loved one, someone who will listen to all the horrible details of their injury and still remind the Marine
that they can have goodness in their life, that they deserve it, but they have some work to do. And it's the work to do which we're just setting in motion.
It's work that may continue for years in therapy, in volunteer work, and maybe in a church or synagogue or mosque. Litz says he's proud that the military is willing to fund such controversial research.
It's controversial to think that war can be damaging about morality. After all, service personnel are ordered to do what they do. And they're trained to do what they do. So how could it be damaging morally and ethically? And we were funded by the military to do this, a larger trial, which I think is extraordinary, just extraordinary.
But funding research about moral injury doesn't mean the Marine Corps has embraced the concept.
Marines don't like to be, say, I'm being injured by doing the very thing I've been trained to do.
Navy Chaplain Mark Smith helped negotiate the official position on moral injury for the Navy and Marine Corps back in 2008. In short, the Marines adopted the concept but renamed it inner conflict. Marines would tell Smith,
I understand I can get injured while I'm doing the thing I'm trained to do, but when you say the thing I'm trained to do injures me, some of them at least struggle with that, and so we avoided that by sticking with the inner conflict.
Changing the name makes the concept more useful for struggling Marines, says Navy Commander and clinical psychologist Andrew Martin. He runs the Marine Corps Community Counseling and Prevention Program.
One of the goals of prevention is to get Marines talking to each other early about problems. And what the Marines told us is that the term inner conflict resonated much more with them, and they found that facilitates more easily conversations with one another.
Using one term in Marine Corps programs and another in research surveys and test treatment can be confusing. It's a sign that moral injury is an evolving condition. But Chaplain Smith says the concept is gaining traction.
So yes, I think it's taking hold. I think people are paying attention and recognizing this is something we need to understand much better, and we need research to back it up.
Smith focuses on helping veterans ask for and accept forgiveness. But some veterans argue they're not the only ones who need forgiveness and healing. Former Marine Captain Tyler Boudreau says responsibility for all the times he gave a sniper permission to fire goes right up the chain to Boudreau's commander, to the guy above him, and to all of us.
To what extent do you have responsibility for me giving permission to a soldier to shoot a person in Iraq?
Boudreau asks me, but he's really asking you to share the burden of moral injuries and help find ways to heal. We'll keep the conversation going online. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.